In James chapter number 1, why don't we begin reading at verse number 1. The Bible says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. I've entitled the message today, Hope in the Lord. Hope in the Lord. James is writing his instruction book as he was commanded by God to help the believers, you and I, and the believers of old to walk the walk and talk the talk of Christ, to be real. It is as if James is saying, if you have been saved by God's grace, then prove it. Do something. Do something different. Show that God has changed your life. He started by telling us that we should be happy if we're able to identify sinful situations, and happier still when we're able to steer clear of them. Then he said, if you feel incapable of living for the Lord, you are. He says, then you've got to ask God for his wisdom to do it. And he says, God will willingly give you his wisdom, and not in piecemeals, but liberally to all who ask him. It is God's will that we be perfect or complete in him. We have no power on our own to achieve God's plan of completion. We have to lean on his cross. Now James says it is important that we learn to put our hope in the Lord. Regardless of what situation we find ourselves in here on the earth, he speaks to people, rich and poor. And in both instances, he says, you hope in the Lord and in the Lord alone. There's no place in the service of the Lord where depending upon yourself is acceptable. Depending upon yourself is a turning away of your heart. Depending on ourselves is a turning away of our hearts. Now, let's start out, even before we get into this, let's start out at Jeremiah chapter number 17. If you're following me in one of the pew Bibles, that's on page 569. In Jeremiah chapter number 17, God talks to us about the concept of putting our faith and our trust in him. Jeremiah chapter number 17, skip down if you would to verse number 5. Jeremiah 17, verse number 5. And God is talking to the children of Israel who have, as you recall from their history, they have been on and off and on and off. And God is calling upon them to make a decision. Here in Jeremiah chapter number 17, he says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. Trust in the Lord is what we're reading here. Trust in the Lord. Well, I want you to see that I want you to see that God is speaking to us, most especially to not trying to put any emphasis on what's going on in around us and dictating whether or not we will follow after Him. But He wants us to hope in Him at all times. So then we are to hope in the Lord, we who are faithful to Him. I got 2 points I want to share with you, and I'll try to be as quick as I usually am, which is not very quick at all. The first point is this, is that we will hope in that we are rich. Hope in that we are rich, rich in the Lord. Go back to James chapter 1 one more time. In James chapter 1, he says, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. In that he is exalted. Now nobody wants to be poor. Nobody wants to be dependent upon other people. But the truth of the matter is that someone always will be. Someone always will be. Now, we speak a lot about equality and wanting all things to be equal. But God did not create us to be the same physically or economically. Now, you remember the story of when Hannah prayed about a child before the little boy Samuel was born. Flip over to 1 Samuel chapter number 2. I want to show you something. 1 Samuel chapter number 2, we're going to read just a couple verses 7, 8, and 9. That's on page 223 in your pew Bibles. But in 1 Samuel chapter number 2, God gives us an amazing truth that we need to hold on to as we explore the idea of whether or not we ought to place all of our hope in the Lord regardless of our situation. 1 Samuel chapter number 2. Skip down, if you would, to verse number 7. And I want you to see, and you can read this when you get back home, but Hannah is praying. She's praying because God has answered her prayer and has given her this man child. In verse number 7, she says this about the Lord. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of His saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. By strength shall no man prevail, rich or poor. So and God made us all. So God's point here is that we are to be rich in Him and in Him alone. Rich in Him and in Him alone. So God is aware of the state that we're in. And whether He will choose to allow us to move from one state of being to another is a mystery to us from day to day. Some get ahead of God and plunge head first into situations that later turn out bad. For example, there are a lot of people today who are house poor, if you know what I mean. They purchased more house than they could afford because somebody else had a bigger house, and because they wanted to appear richer than they actually were. And now guess what? Their house owns them. They are absolutely house poor. And that is what many believe was the beginning of the economic downpour of our country and of other countries around this world. But God is saying to us, we are to be happy where He has placed us, and we are to put all of our hope in Him, that we are not to spend all of our energy in search of riches, in search of anything other than praising His name and living according to His will. So God, according to 1 Samuel chapter number 2, verses 7, 8, and 9, God made us. He made some rich and He made some poor. And Proverbs 22, verse 4 says this, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. If you want all that God has to give you, then live your life according to His plan. Will He make you rich? Rich in His glory. Will He give you honor? Honor through His word. Will He give you life? Life everlasting. That's what God says is His promise for us. That's what God says is His promise for us. James's previous instruction in James chapter number 1, verse 8 was that we not be double-minded. Not in anything. If you're poor, then be poor. But don't let the thought of being poor consume you. You follow me? If you're poor, if that's where God has put you, then just be poor. But don't let the thought of being poor consume you, because if you're always thinking on your situation, then you are never thinking on the things of God. You are double-minded. God says, don't be double-minded. What God is saying to us here in James is that those who are of a low degree should not be so consumed by it that they won't allow the Lord to use them for his glory. Let the brother of low degree, he says, rejoice in that he is exalted. Rejoice first that you are a child of God and allow God to use you where you are for his glory. Now, I want to show you a couple situations of some poor folks who, according to the world standard, might not have been able to be used by God. Look, we're going to look at two. First of all, in Judges, chapter number 6, page 203 in your pew Bibles, we're going to look at a man by the name of Gideon. Judges, chapter number 2. Chapter number 6, excuse me. Judges, chapter number 6. And skip down, we're going to begin reading at verse number 11. Judges, chapter number 6. Beginning at verse number 11, we're introduced to the man Gideon. The Bible says this, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Now, what we get here is that the children of Israel had been disobedient once again. And God had allowed the Midianites to come and to rule over them. They took charge over them. And now here was this man Gideon. He was poor in his own right. But these Midianites had so much control over them that they even had to prepare their wheat. They had to thresh their wheat and then they had to hide it because these folks would come and take it for themselves. And they'd be even poorer than they were in the beginning. And we're introduced to Gideon that he is doing what is necessary to take care of his family. Verse number 12 says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt, but now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Now this man Gideon, he had a real idea of who he was. He said, I'm nobody. My family is nobody. And Lord, if you're looking for somebody to be used greatly of you, why not go out and get somebody that the people are going to listen to? Somebody of power, somebody of strength, somebody of wealth, somebody from a strong family. But you know what God was saying to Gideon, and he's saying to us today, put your hope in me. Let the man of low estate rejoice in that God wants to use him and allow God to use you. Allow God to use you. Gideon said, what am I going to do? Who's going to listen to me? I'm just a poor man. Verse number 16 says this. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Let me tell you, we see the power that God holds in his hands and the power that God wants to give to you and I. He says, if you will just trust me, he said, it will be as if you were a one-man army because you will go in the power and in the strength of the Lord. Amen. God's looking for some Gideons. He's looking for some folks who will go out the door and go with the strength of the Lord, poor in spirit. And he says, go and rejoice that I can use you right where you are if you will allow it. If you will allow it. Now, I want to read a little bit more to you because I want to show you Gideon's story and how God did use him. Verse 17, he says this, and he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. Now, what Gideon was saying is, I want to make sure I'm not crazy. You know, I love that God gives us things in the Bible that we can chuckle about, because that's exactly a point of laughter right there where Gideon said, now, am I really talking to an angel, or am I losing my mind? Am I hungry? What's going on with me? He says, you stay right here, and I want you to prove to me that you and I are really having this conversation. And verse number 19 says, and Gideon went in, and he made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour and the flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. And then the angel of the Lord, showing Gideon that God was about to do a great thing through him, he says, here's a sign for you, buddy. He put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand. He touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Gideon, you're a poor man, but will you let the Lord use you? The Lord wants to use us today. He says, let the man of low estate. You think you're low? You think somebody else knows more about the Lord than you do? He says, then let the Lord use you right where you are. Right where you are. Rejoice in that you are a child of God and that you're willing to serve him. One more. New Testament. Look in Luke chapter number 1. Luke chapter number 1 on page 749 in your pew Bibles. We see a young lady who was also considered to be a poor lady of low estate. And God came and sent his angel to this young lady. And God was going to use her as well in a mighty way. Luke chapter number 1, skip all the way down to verse number 36. I'll tell you a little bit about what was going on before that. We're introduced to a young virgin by the name of Mary. And God sent the angel Gabriel to her. And Gabriel told her that she was going to conceive a child. And his name was going to be called Jesus. And he was going to be the Savior of the world. He was going to save all of his people from their sins. And Mary said, you know, she was saying, how can this be? What's going on? How can this happen to me? And Mary knew that she was just a poor young girl. She was just a poor young girl. And the angel Gabriel, he gave her some things that she could think about. And in giving her these words, he sent her on a mission to confirm for her that God could use her and that God could bless the whole world through her. Now, I want to tell you something. I don't believe that Mary was an exception. I believe that God is still waiting to bless the world through a Mary that's sitting out here today, through a Joseph that's sitting out here today, through a Meredith that's standing up here today, through a Horace that's sitting there today. God is saying, I can use you greatly if you will allow me to. If you'll just hope in me, if you'll just trust in me. Look in Luke chapter 1. Skip down, if you would, to verse number 36. I want to show you Mary's story. Gabriel's talking to her. And in verse number 36, here's what he says to her. He says, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now he says, God's about to do something special, and I want you to know it's so special that he can even make the old people bear babies again. He says, nothing is impossible with God. And verse number 38 says, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Mary heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Now I tell you what, God is proving that he could use anybody for any purpose if they would just make themselves available. And verse 45 says, and blessed is she that believed. That was the point. Let the one of low esteem, of low estate, let them believe in the Lord. Believe that the Lord can use you and be willing to be used of the Lord. Elizabeth said, Mary, you believed, and now God is doing a great thing, for there shall be a performance of these things which were told from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Mary said, I am blessed of the Lord, even though I might be low, I might be poor, but I have believed in the Lord. And she says, the Lord will be exalted through it all. I tell you what, God has proven to us that he says, whether you are rich or you're poor, he says, rejoice in that you can be used of God. Rejoice in that you can be used of God. This poor girl, Mary, she birthed our Savior. And many years later, when he walked in his ministry, he called men to join him. Others joined themselves. Others invited themselves to join him. But he promised them only one thing, which is the only thing that we can promise people who come to know Christ. He promised them only one thing, that he would teach them the ways of God and nothing else. He didn't ever promise anybody. You pour through this book as much as you can, and you see where Christ spoke. You see where the prophet spoke, and you find a place where God promised that if you would come to know him as Savior, that he would make you rich in this world's concept of richness. And you bring it to me because I've never seen it. And I believe that I've gone through it from one end to the other, and I haven't seen it there. And Christ himself, he spoke those same words when he spoke to those who sought to follow after him. Look at Matthew chapter number 8. In Matthew chapter number 8, and we're just going to pick up a couple of verses, and that's on page 709 in your pew Bibles. I want to show you this, that God is saying, you know what, salvation certainly does not mean new jobs, new house, new bank account, et cetera, et cetera. That's not what it means at all, but what it means is let God use you, hope in the Lord. In Matthew chapter number 8, there were many who were following after Christ. If you skip down to verse number 19, and there were some who were making preparations to follow him. One was a certain scribe. In verse number 19, it says, and a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And it's like Jesus said, if you're for real, I need you to know where we're going, buddy. And verse number 20 says, and Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He says, I don't have a house. We're not on our way to a palace. You're not going to get rich. I'm not going to promise you a big job. He says, if you want to follow me, then come along and get rich in the word and the knowledge of God, my Father. Can I just give you a quick news flash? It's not a disgrace to be poor. Poverty is not a disgrace. It's not a disgrace. Unless we make it a disgrace. Unless we make it a disgrace. And that's really the truth. You know, I was thinking about that when I was putting this together. And I said, you know what? Poor doesn't mean dirty. It's not a disgrace. You know, we see communities where people don't have a lot of money and they're beautiful and they're upkept, because these people have pride in where they live. You see other places where people are poor, and it's obvious that they're poor. You know, everything that breaks, they keep it. They stack things on top of it. They throw nothing away because they have no regard for what they have. It's only a disgrace if you make it that way. And God is saying to us, if he hasn't given you lots of money, he says, don't you get yourself all stressed about that. Just let him use you greatly. But back to God's point. Paul, I believe, has learned from, he was a learned man. He learned from many. He learned from the Old Testament teachings. But he knew nothing of Christ until God introduced himself. And when God introduced himself to Paul was able to put things in perspective. And he was able to see the richness of God's word. And he was able to see his personal worth in God through his faith in God. And he gives that to us as an example. Two more places of scripture here, and then we'll move on. Look in Ephesians chapter number 3. It's on page 864 in your pew Bibles. Ephesians chapter number 3. Paul is telling the church at Ephesus how God has taught him much about his expectations and about what he can gain from serving the Lord. Ephesians chapter number 3, page 864, beginning at verse number 1. Here's what the Bible says. For this cause, and what we will have read in chapter number 2 is how God has brought about many members, the Jews and the Gentiles, into the same body of believers. And he's allowed them to be fitly joined together into one body of believers. And here Paul says, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets of the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power unto me. And look how Paul classifies himself. First of all, he calls himself a prisoner. He says, I'm just a prisoner. And Paul's not saying it in a negative way, but he's saying, you know what? I'm not like the guy on the top of the totem pole. I'm the guy at the bottom. And now he says, he made me a minister. And he says, unto me who am less than even the least of all the saints. Less than even the least of all the saints, he said, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Let him of low estate rejoice in that God can use you, that you know God. Make yourself available to him. He says in verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Paul says, just trying to be a blessing. Just trying to be a blessing. Just trying to do what God has called me to do. I tell you what, God said, I want you to serve me. And I want you to do it with just one expectation. And that expectation is that you have opportunity to serve me, that you're going to lift up the name of God, that you're going to be a blessing to those who need it. One more, look in Luke chapter number 4. That's on page 753. As God shows us that it's his purpose that we will allow him to be used in our lives. Luke chapter number 4, we're just going to read a few verses beginning at verse number 15. Here's what God says to the believers there. In Luke chapter number 15, it says, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Why did he come? He says, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to those who are poor in spirit. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He says, here's the reason why I came. Not to change your economic situation, but to change your hearts. Matthew 5 verse 3 says this, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Amen. The humble, those who depend on God completely. Let the brother of low degree rejoice. Be glad in that he is exalted, that he knows God, and that he now enjoys the riches of God's grace. So to the poor, he says, hope in that you are rich. And to the rich, he says, hope in that you are reliant. Go back to James chapter number 1, one last time. James chapter number 1. This time reading at verse number 9, he says, but the rich, in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. so also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Just, guys, is this not a disgrace to be poor? It's not a disgrace to be rich. And if God has allowed you to be rich, then God bless you. Of course, I think rich is relative. Not my relative, but rich is relative. And if your needs are fewer than your resources, then you could be considered rich. And God says that's okay. Dave Ramsey, a famous Christian financial counselor, said one day that his child came to him and said, "Dad, are we rich?" And he says, "I am, but you aren't." And that was the whole idea, is to help us to understand this whole concept today, is that, you know, we think that, you know, if my family's rich, I'm rich, and there's something that I'm going to be able to inherit. He wanted this guy to know that all that he had, God had allowed him to have, and he was using it for God's glory. But his son, he didn't want him to grow up in a situation where he thought he was a rich man because daddy had much. But in our text here today, the conjunction "but" could have very easily have been written "and" as opposed to "but," because "but" in this case gives you an idea, if you don't study it completely, that God is saying, "But don't you be rich," because it's a bad thing. But instead, if you read it with the word "and," this is the way that verse could read, because God is not condemning the rich, but he's giving an instruction to the rich brother as well. So it could read, "And the rich brother, let him rejoice in that he is made low," saying, don't forget, don't get so caught up in your riches that you forget that God has given you all that you have. That don't get so wrapped up in your riches that you forget to lift up the name of God and to allow God to direct you in your life. So what does God think of our riches? Very little, I believe, if it's not used for his glory. He says that riches will fail away. He says they will fail away like a flower of the grass when the sun gets really hot. Now, we know what that's all about, because we have had some hot days here, and we have watched rain, clouds come up and go all around us, and we've watched the ground just get parched and dry. And God says, I want to use that for you as a visual. That's what it's like if you'll put your trust and your faith in your stuff, in your money, in your account, in your things. He said, one day the sun will come up and it will just beat that up, dry it up, it'll wither, it'll fail, and it'll be nothing. Amen. But you should be relying on God, even when you have many resources. He says we are to be reliant upon God. So he says here, let the rich hope, let them be made low, let them be made humble, so that even though they have a lot of stuff, they will still put all of their faith and all of their trust in the service of the Lord. God gave us a great example of a man who was rich. We don't think about him as a rich man. We usually think about him as a patient man. Look at Job. Go to Job chapter number 1, page 407 in Pew Bibles. In Job, we think of the patience of Job most of all when we think of this man Job. But according to the Bible, Job was a little bit more than patient. He was rich. And he was mighty rich. In Job chapter number 1, beginning at verse number 1, look at how the Bible describes this man Job. It says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright. Now, that's about his spirit. That's about who he was reliant upon, that he had been made low because he knew God. He says, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. So he was rich in family. And verse 3 says, his substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. Job was a rich man. But you notice that in God's description of Job, God gave, first of all, the things that were most important to Job, and that was Job had a heart for the Lord. He was a man who was humble, a man who had been humbled by God. He feared God and he eschewed evil. Now skip down to verse number 20, because I want you to see, first of all, we've seen the description of Job. Now I want you to see Job's response when the sun did come up and when things were withered away. He lost his children. He lost his stock. He lost everything that he had. In verse number 20, here's Job's response. The rich man Job, where was his faith? In verse number 20 says, then Job arose and he rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground and worshiped. Because his hope was not in his stuff. And look what he said. He said, naked I came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And it says, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Why not? Because his hope was in the Lord. He said, Lord, I don't need all that stuff to be able to serve you. I came here naked. I'll leave here naked, but I'll join you in your glory one day. I'll be exalted. You'll be exalted in that. But you know, Job, to better understand Job, in that Job understood this whole principle that he was not to put his faith in his stuff. Job recounted for us what life used to be like for him. Flip over to Job chapter number 29. He gives us a picture of what his life was like when he was a rich man, when he was high, and when people thought of him and people consulted him. That's on page 421 in your pew Bibles. In Job chapter number 29, Job says, I need you to understand. I trust God. I do. And I put all of my trust in God. I do. But let me tell you, I know what it was like on the other side. But I think what we get here is something about the character of Job. That even when times were good, he never took his eyes off of God. He was always humble to the things of God and obedient to the things of God. Job 29, we're going to read just a few verses beginning at verse number 1. Here's what Job said in his reminiscing. He says, moreover, Job continued his parable and said, oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me, when his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness. As I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were about me, when I washed my steps with butter. Now, the man is telling you he was rich. He said, I used to wash my steps with butter, and the rock poured me out rivers of oil. When I went out to the gate through the city, when I prepared my seat in the street, the young men saw me and hid themselves. He said, people were doing things they ought not have been doing. They didn't do it anymore because they knew this man Job was a spiritual man. Job was a man who had a connection with God. He said, they hid themselves. He says, and the aged arose and stood up. They gave him respect and honor. The princes refrained talking and laid their hand on their mouth. The nobles held their peace and their tongue cleaved to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard me, then it blessed me. And when the eye saw me, it gave witness to me, because I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that had none to help him. The blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me. He says, I used what I had for God's glory. He says, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. I was eyes to the blind and feet was I to the lame. I was a father to the poor, and the cause which I knew not, I searched out. You know what Job is saying, if I could summarize it this way? I had a lot of stuff, but it didn't have me. It wasn't the most important thing. He said, what I had, I used for God's glory. He said, I made myself low so that God could be lifted up. So that God could be lifted up. He used what he had to bring glory to the name of God. And I believe, people, that that's what would be God's desire for you and I today. I believe Luke chapter 14 is a great summary of what we've read today in our text. Look over there, and I'm almost done. Luke chapter number 14, page 766 in your pew Bibles. Luke chapter number 14. Skip down, if you would, to verse number 7. Luke 14, chapter number 7, verse number 7, excuse me. we see Jesus' words, which I think are a great summary as to how Jesus wants us to live these lives, rich or poor. Luke 14, beginning at verse number 7, here's what the Bible says. And he put forth a parable to those that were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief room, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with them. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Verse 12 says, then said he also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. If I can explain that. He says, if you're gonna have an event, you're gonna have a great feast, and you're gonna invite many people. He says, don't just invite those who are your friends, those who are capable, those who are able of doing it also. He says, because you know what? They're going to want to repay you. One day they're going to invite you back to their house. He says, and that cycle is just going to continue. But he's saying, where's the real blessing? He says, where's the real blessing? He says, humble ourselves before God and let God use us where we are, no matter who we are, no matter what our resources are. He says, let them of low estate rejoice in that he can bless others, that he knows God. Let him who has so much, let him be brought low so that he too might be able to bless God. He says here in verse number 13, here's where he explains. He says, but when thou makest a feast, you call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot repay thee. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Oh yes, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Blessed is he that will be humbled before God. Blessed is he that will serve God where God places him. It seems appropriate to finish up right where we started. Go back to Jeremiah one time. Jeremiah 17, page 569. Sounds like the best place to go back to. God says, be near the cross, lean on his cross, put all of your hope in the Lord and not in yourself, not in any man. He says, because if you do, it's going to all be misdirected. And one day you're going to find yourself in a terrible situation. Jeremiah 17, we'll close here again, beginning at verse number 5, where God says this, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and he shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabit it. Why won't he see it? Because he'll be looking for something else. He won't be able to see the goodness of God. And verse number 7, he says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her waters, spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. Why won't he see it? Because he'll be focused on the water. Who's the water? That water is God. He says he won't see the heat when it cometh, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Amen. Will you place all of your hope and your trust in the Lord? Will you let the Lord be your arm? I sign up to do that today. Amen. Let's pray. Father, for your word, I'm thankful. I pray today, Father, that you might let us each evaluate ourselves against your word today. It doesn't really matter, I believe, based on your word, whether we're rich or we're poor, what our resources are. But what matters, Lord, is whether we are allowing you to be glorified through us, through the things that we do for you, through the things that we offer up to you. Lord, I pray that each one of us might aspire to have the reputation of Job, that the most important thing that folks might repeat about us is that we fear you, Lord, and that we eschew evil, that we search out opportunities to be a blessing to people so that your name might be lifted up in their lives. Lord, I praise you for the beauty of your word, for the instruction that you give us, for the strength and the power that you promise us. Lord, use it for your glory. I pray if there be one listening, Lord, who is without Christ, that you might minister to them. Open their eyes to the truth of your word, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.